This Health Ranger Report Pandemic Podcast is brought to you by naturalnews.com for uncensored reporting and healthrangerstore.com for lab-tested preparedness supplies such as storable food, full-face medical masks, biostructured silver first aid gel, and iodine, only while supplies last.
All right, February 18th, update on the coronavirus and talking about the structure of global society, supply chains, and the interconnectedness of suppliers. You know, when you have a society that has a decentralization of sources, you end up with redundancy and resiliency. For example, if we had 10 places where we could buy parts for aircraft, you know, from 10 different countries, let's say, that would be redundancy and resiliency. And you would be more adaptive in terms of how you respond to a shutdown of supply in one particular country, such as China. But the opposite of that is single source suppliers, i.e. supply chains that are highly vulnerable to interdiction or collapse or failures because the interdependencies do not have redundancies. And so when you look at aircraft manufacturing or automobiles or consumer electronics, appliances, even foods, supplements, pharmaceuticals, textiles, furniture, just about everything you can think of, most of it now comes only from China. There are not alternative sources for many products. In fact, in terms of pharmaceuticals, 97% of the pharmaceuticals or antibiotics in particular come out of China. And so once that is allowed to happen for a period of time, you lose the ability to resume manufacturing in other countries. And by the way, I'm going to be covering all this at a new website called pandemic.news. So be sure to check out pandemic.news for audio podcasts that you can download as audio files, MP3s, as well as the video files from brighteon.com, as well as clicks to articles and scientific studies. So just check all that out at pandemic.news. And that's why I'm putting dates on all these podcasts now. Today's February 18th. I want you to know the day I recorded this because these events are moving very, very quickly and there's usually a several day delay before we can get these published. So getting back to the point at hand, what we're now witnessing in society on a global scale is that the supply lines have become very non-redundant or highly centralized. In other words, China, because of its low manufacturing costs due to low labor costs combined with a complete lack of environmental regulations, China is able to make things very inexpensively compared to the rest of the world. So they've become the manufacturing hub for everything from chemicals and vitamins, nutrients, amino acids, to machine parts and textiles and everything else you can imagine, plastics and polymers. China has become the manufacturing factory of the world. Well, that's all great until the day comes that something affects China as a whole. And that day, of course, arrived a couple of months ago with the coronavirus. So now we have this shutdown of this single supply source for many companies, including, by the way, companies that claim their products are made in America. So let's talk about this for just a second. What does made in America mean? It usually means assembled in America. So if you have a company, let's say a furniture manufacturer in America, and you are promoting your furniture as made in America furniture, what it means is that you buy the fabric for the furniture from China and the wood for the furniture from, let's say, Vietnam, as an example, and the screws for the furniture from China, and so on. And you buy all these things from overseas, and then you import them into America, and then you have, let's say, possibly American workers, but maybe not even American workers, assembling these chairs and tables and so on in the United States, then you can say made in America. But even that made in America furniture depends on non-American supply lines. And when China stops running its factories, the shipments of the furniture fabric stop, and the shipments of the screws and nails stop, and so on. It just goes on and on. So just because something's made in America doesn't mean it's 100% made in America. Almost nothing is 100% made in America. Now, I mean, I'm building up large scale, commercial scale colloidal silver generating facilities. And I've been putting that together piece by piece for large scale production because I know what's coming and I know that people are going to need good sources of colloidal silver. And I've also got some new innovative technologies of how to make this better, higher quality silver that's more effective and so on. I'll talk about that later. But even in this process, even though I'm using Texas rainwater, which is local, and Texas electricity, which is local, I still have to have silver to do this. And guess where the silver comes from? Well, Mexico, Argentina, maybe the United States, maybe, I don't know, does China export silver? I don't know. I think the silver I buy is from Mexico. But even then, I have supply lines and I have power supplies and I have electrical lines that are running this, and I have metering systems and I have pumps, you know, for circulation pumps, and I have filtration systems and so on. All of these things are made in China because you can't find them made anywhere else, it seems. So just as an example, I knew I was going to scale this up. Oh, and by the way, the big reaction vessels that I purchased for this, which are polyethylene, very large vessels, like you could say oversized drums or barrels, they are made in China too. So I had to actually start pre-purchasing a lot of this gear. I just started loading up on extra power supplies and extra electronics and extra metering systems and so on, because I know what's coming. So even though I'm trying to make colloidal silver in Texas, the components that go into the manufacturing come from China. Some of them do, even though the rainwater falls out of the sky in Texas. So even those of us who are making Made in America products, we are going to suffer supply chain disruptions that are quite profound. And in fact, I'm already starting to see it happen. So whether you're dealing with automobiles or airplanes or factories or coal-fired power plant equipment, you know, industrial type of equipment, machinery, you know, manufacturing machinery, for example, or fluid control systems or all kinds of things, so much of that comes out of China because the whole world has moved to China based on the philosophy that the best price is the only deciding factor. And so in pursuit of the best price of everything, which is basically the entire operating system for Walmart, it's just the cheapest price possible, that's driven the entire world to give up all the redundancies and give up domestic production and end up outsourcing everything to China, because people want cheap fly swatters at Walmart. People want cheap laundry baskets at Walmart. And nobody wants to pay the price for handcrafted Amish, finely made products from fine Amish hands. You know, everybody wants the cheap China automation factory pollution product, which is dirt cheap. And so this is what we have as a result. This is where we've ended up, is with no redundancies in the system. Again, pharmaceuticals, vitamins, amino acids, superfoods, even many bulk food items comes out of China. And now let's move on to the second chapter of this little monologue here. What happens if you own a factory? Let's say that you're Chinese, okay? You're mainland Chinese. You're a communist. You love President Xi and whatever. You own a factory in China. You have to get people to show up in order for factory production to function. Now, I know this seems like an obvious point. You're like, duh, we know that. But for some reason, people are telling us today that China's GDP is going to be fine and its economy is going to be awesome, even when no one's showing up to work at the factories. And why aren't they showing up? Well, because they're all under lockdown and quarantine, which is going to extend for months. So the factories aren't running because the workers aren't there. And so how are you going to produce products when your factories aren't running? And the answer is, you're not. And so the supply lines are cratered. And I'm pausing here because I'm still trying to figure out the right way to communicate this to people. People who are buying stocks like crazy, they're like, everything's going to go up forever. There's never going to be any market correction ever. The Fed assured us. How can I get the point across to those people about the wave of bankruptcies that's coming, because so many of these companies that depend on China for Chinese production and Chinese exports and so on, these companies are on very thin margins, many of them. Many are in financial trouble. For example, Pier 1 Imports just declared bankruptcy. That's a lot of crap out of China that they sell. You would think they would make a fortune given what they used to charge at retail, but somehow they went bankrupt. Maybe that has something to do with this pandemic and they couldn't get any more supplies out of China. I don't know. But it's an example of what's coming on a much larger scale. We're going to see bankruptcies sweep across the world in a wave that might accurately be called kind of a financial Armageddon. It's going to be bankruptcy after bankruptcy in multiple waves rippling through the supply chain. So first, in China, you've already got thousands of companies that have gone bankrupt in terms of their operational functionality. They just haven't declared it yet because everyone's welded shut in their apartment buildings due to the quarantine lockdown. The minute the doors are open, they're going to go file bankruptcy because they've run out of money. I mean, how do you pay rent for your factory space when your entire workforce is under quarantine and you can't produce anything? You go bankrupt very quickly when you still have all the overhead, but you don't have a workforce. So that's going to happen. And then there's going to be all these component manufacturers that are bankrupt. And then that's going to kick into the next wave of the integrated product manufacturers that need those components. And then they're all going to declare bankruptcy. And then it's going to bankrupt the retailers that usually buy and import those products, or the USA manufacturers that use components from China. Then they're going to go bankrupt. And it's just going to ripple through the whole freaking world economy. And yet, right now, everybody just can't wait to buy the dip. It's like, oh my God, it went down 1%. Buy, buy, buy. And they're just, oh, it's hard to watch. It's hard to watch people commit financial suicide, because I've seen this before. This is a broken record. You know, I am one of the top people who sounded the alarm of the dot-com crash starting in 1998. And I warned people in 99, and I warned people in early 2000 and so on until the big crash happened. And of course, I was mocked and attacked and smeared the whole time. And I was assured by everyone, that, oh, the old rules of profits and earnings don't matter anymore. PE ratios are obsolete, they said, because companies no longer need to make money anymore. They just need to attract eyeballs on their websites, and then their valuations are going to go up forever. And if we buy them now, this was the narrative, then you're never going to have to work again another day in your life. You'll just be able to retire because the stock price that's $100 today, it's going to $5,000 a share. Sounds kind of like the Bitcoin people today. They're like, it's going to $1 million a coin, you know? I don't think so. But whatever, people convinced themselves. And so many people lost 90% or more of their investments in the dot-com crash of 2000/2001, which I predicted and I warned people. And now I see the same thing. Because you see, this coronavirus pandemic, it can't be stopped by issuing press releases. You know, corporations can kind of skate by on some fake news for a while. They can hold conference calls and they can tell journalists that things are looking up. They can issue reports. Yeah, our overhead is down 20%. Yeah, it's because no one's showing up for work anymore because they're all dead or quarantined. But they can paper over it for a little while. But at some point, it becomes obvious you're not making any money. You're not manufacturing anything. You're not exporting anything. Your machines aren't running. No one's showing up for work. You got no revenues, Jack. And when that day comes, for the investors, when the investors realize that, then the investors are going to say, maybe I should sell. And it only takes maybe 2% of investors deciding to sell a stock to just crater that stock. And because we live in a society of herd mentality, then the minute that stock starts to crater, everybody else who holds the stock says, what am I missing? What am I missing? Oh, I see the herd running this way, brum, 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 stampeding off a cliff. Oh, I better sell now too. So the herd mentality kicks in, the fear takes over from the greed, and then they have, instead of FOMO, fear of missing out, they have FOFO, fear of fearing out, I guess. And then they're afraid that they're not afraid enough, so that makes them more afraid, and then they sell and they panic, and then you have a market crash on hand. And it only takes a very small percentage of the total investors for that to happen. So the massive market correction stemming from the coronavirus pandemic and the wave of bankruptcies due to the systemic supply chain failures, it doesn't require 90% of investors to come to their senses. It only requires about 2% of investors coming to their senses. And so the big summary of this podcast is, if you hold stocks, do you wish to be among the first 2% to come to their senses, or would you rather wait to be in the herd of the 98% who get wiped out? That's your only choice. You can either sell first and actually realize gains and convert your soon-to-be worthless stocks into, you know, cash or gold or silver or treasuries or something, land, something that will hold value. Or you can wait and join the stampede off the cliff, and you can lose 90% perhaps on some stocks. Maybe only 50% on others, but you'll lose a fortune. That's your choice now. And it's not, quote, causing panic to talk about financial reality. All the valuation in the market, it's fiction. It cannot be realized for all the participants. By nature, the minute people start selling, the price is correct. Only a very tiny sliver, a tiny fraction of the total asset owners will ever be able to exit with anything even coming close to the value they thought they had. So you got to decide, how long do you think that they can keep faking it and making the market go up as a pandemic is crushing the global supply chain? Personally, I sold everything years ago, many years ago. I've just invested in my company. I don't invest in other companies because I don't trust them. I invest in the Health Ranger store. I invest in, you know, scaling up colloidal silver production, things like that. That's where I put my money, to make products that help you, real products, not just financial games. But where are you putting your money? Because if your money is still in stocks, that money can be lost instantly without your knowledge or power. And you won't be able to sell when you want to get out because it'll be limit down day after day after day. The markets will close on emergency basis and you just won't be able to get out. Oh, that's the kind of thing that leads people to jump off tall buildings, which is not a good way to invest. But it's up to you to decide how you'd like to handle it. So I just hope you make a wise choice. And I hope that you make it through this with all of your savings intact and your sanity intact. And try not to leap off tall buildings, at least not in a single bound. But thank you for listening. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger. You can hear more of my podcasts at pandemic.news. Thank you for listening. When it comes to prepping, you not only need good products that can help keep you alive, awake, aware, and nourished during difficult times, you also need products you can trust. At the Health Ranger store, we do extensive laboratory testing using an in-house lab that's ISO accredited. It's inspected, it's audited. It's a 2-year process to even get that accreditation. We use multiple mass spec instruments, state-of-the-art science. I'm a published science author as well and a patent holder on several technologies, some of which we use variations of in our lab. The purpose of this lab is to help you make sure you get clean foods, superfoods, storable foods for emergency preparedness and survival use. We have a certified organic lab-tested, what's called Ranger Bucket collection of storable foods with some survival gear in the buckets to help you even boil water and cook those foods and so on. It's a fantastic product. We can barely keep it in stock, even during normal times. In a crisis, we'll be wiped out of this product because it actually takes us a lot of time to make those products. But if they're in stock, you can get them now at healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. In fact, go to that URL, healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike, and you'll see some of our survival and preparedness supplies, including iodine, colloidal silver products and gel, first aid products, storable foods, superfoods, medicinal herbs for first aid, and much more. We have a lot of products for you to help you be self-reliant, to be safe, to survive difficult circumstances, natural disasters, and all kinds of things. If you want to get prepared, do it with us at the Health Ranger store so that you know you're getting safe, clean, laboratory-verified preparedness foods, supplements, and other related products. Again, the URL is healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. All one word, no spaces. Prep with Mike. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for your support.